Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey dear listeners, you're listening to Israel On My Mind, a show that broadcasts all the weekly goodness that flows like milk and honey from the Holy Land straight into your ears with humorous and happy news stories here on Israel News Talk Radio. G'day, Ross.
G'day, Jono. Good to be here.
I don't know if you have this problem in Louisiana where you're from, but don't you hate it when you're driving down the road and you have to stop for camels?
It doesn't happen here, but we have to stop for deer. But go ahead. What'd you find out?
Israel rounds up traffic-stopping stray camels. This is in the Times of Israel. 30 animals, which had been left to roam near roads, were treated by a vet, vaccinated, and returned to their owners with a fine. Apparently, what had happened was the owners, I don't know, Bedouin, perhaps, just kind of, you know, left them to their own devices, and they just sort of all wandered out onto the road. It is apparently a bit of an issue because a year ago, a woman was killed after a car hit three stray camels that had wandered.
Good Lord.
Wandered onto a Negev highway, I know. So, I mean, here we have kangaroos. It can happen twilight usually. But yeah, it says stray camels wandering the Negev roads are responsible for dozens of car accidents each year. So they were on it. As soon as they got the report, they rounded up the 30 camels. They checked the health, made sure they were vaccinated, sent them back to the owners and said, hey, listen, here's a fine. And if it happens again, you're in trouble.
Keep your camels out of the road. Keep your camels out of the road. Yeah. You know, they do have signs up, though. Watch out for camels all up and down those highways.
They do. When I do recall when we were in the desert, I think we were on our way to Hebron at the time last year on the Tanakh tour. And we would love for listeners to join us. There's a link on the Israel On My Mind Facebook page. In fact, there's a link on the front of the Israel News Talk radio page that you can click on. It'll take you to all the details. But yeah, just seeing camels in the wild. I'm not used to seeing that, of course, where I come from. What have we got coming up in this week's program?
Wow, this is jam-packed, Jonah. We're going to talk about tourism. Record-breaking numbers are traveling to Israel, including a very interesting visitor who's there to spread all sorts of happiness to people who want to have children. Right. We've got Radiohead frontman in the news again, fed up with these Palestinian protesters. How about some fake meat? We can talk about some, you've heard fake news. This is about veganism and fake meat.
Okay.
Right. You know, that'd be something to cover. UNESCO. We'll talk about UNESCO's latest ridiculous resolution, and we've also got some offbeat news to cover, as if all of that wasn't offbeat enough. We've got several points that we'll talk about that I think people will find of interest.
All coming up after these messages. Don't go away.
There was a time you didn't worry about terrorism. It was something that happened in a faraway place or to someone else. But now you want to know. Now you want to understand. Now you're afraid that you might be in the danger zone. You need to listen to Gadi Edelman on The Danger Zone every week, where you will find out the truth about what is going on in the world around you. Gadi Edelman on The Danger Zone, right here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey dear listeners, you're listening to Israel On My Mind, a show that broadcasts all the weekly goodness that flows like milk and honey from the Holy Land straight into your ears. But hang on a minute, Ross, do you want to do the intro?
No, I want you to do it.
No, I always do the intro. I've got a monopoly on the intro, and you've only been on the program for
Think it's been 5 weeks. I'm like a veteran newscaster. now that you bring it up, speaking of our dear listeners, I got a note from one of our dear listeners that said, hey, why does Jono always get to do it? And I said, well, Jono's the boss. I'm just like a little lackey. I'm like, you're Batman, I'm Robin. You know, speaking of superheroes, you don't think I can do this, do you?
No, I didn't. It just occurred to me. I thought, wait a minute.
Right,
why am I the one who always does the intro? You can do the intro.
All right, here we go.
Go on.
Good day, dear listeners. Well, you interrupted me.
Okay,
all right, let me start over.
Again. Okay.
Good day, dear listeners. You're listening to Israel On My Mind, a show that broadcasts all the goodness that flows like milk and honey from the Holy Land straight into your ears with humorous and happy news stories here on Israel News Talk Radio. Good day, Jono.
G'day, Russ.
See there? I mean, it's not that hard, Jonah. You act like this is a big deal, and our listeners were wondering. why I didn't ever do it. And here we go. Hey, thanks for letting me do that just once. I just wanted to do it one time.
You did it well. I'll tell you what, if you're good, I'll let you do it once a year.
Okay, that sounds good. Done. Next July, I'm marking it down right now in my planner.
Speaking of, now look, every year, once a year, we do go to Israel on tour. We take a busload of people. We go on tour from north to south and spend some very special time in Jerusalem. We're doing it again, of course, this year. This coming November, we're going to be
right.
There.
That's right. This will be the third Tanakh tour, the second that has, let's call it the dynamic trio, me, you, and Tovia Singer.
Yep.
And I'm really looking forward to that. October 30th through November the 7th. The price is right. The leaders are great. I mean, I can't believe we're still talking about having open seats on the bus. But truth is, we still do. And there's time for people to sign up. But would you advise them to wait much longer? I mean, they need to get on it. We're running out of time.
Well, we would love to have listeners of Israel on My Mind on the bus with us. But we are running out of room because people are signing up very, very quickly. And so the way you can secure your place on the bus with us is by going to the link truthtoyou.org. That's my website, truth2u.org, and just follow the links there and you can leave a deposit and secure your place. We would love for you to join us. Now, heaps of people, Ross, are flocking to Israel. What are the latest stats?
Let me tell you, if they sign up, if our listeners sign up, they'll be joining, get this, in the first 6 months of 2017, 1.74 million people have taken a tour to Israel. Now, we didn't bring all of those people, so about 1.74 million minus 40 to 50 aren't getting the best tour. But nonetheless, they're traveling to Israel. Now, listen to this. That's 26% increase over last year at this time. 26%.
26% is huge. Now, this is, I remember we read in recent articles, I think they reported that April was a record figure, but it just keeps going. Now, this is an article in Arutz 7 by Hannah Roberts. Israel, tourism in Israel reaches record highs. And as you said, it's a 26% increase. What are some of the other stats?
I tell you, in April, they hit 350,000. So they thought, wow, I mean, this is a record. But guess what happened in May? 350,000 again. Now, in June, they just crossed 303,000. Slight dip, but that's probably because it's so hot. People with sense are trying to, you know, schedule them around the more seasonable times. November is a great time, by the way.
It is.
But, you know, they attribute some of it, Jono, to increases in some of these places that weren't, so big in the numbers of tourists. 30% from Russia, 76% increase in tourists from China. Wow, can you believe that?
That is massive. Yeah, that's really huge. And it also says, in addition, tourism from the U.S., Israel's largest source country for tourism, jumped at 20%.
20% increase over last year. The numbers just keep going on, and you realize that this is working against all the efforts of BDS. You know, all these enemies of Israel are trying to paint Israel in such a negative light, but the people keep coming.
The people keep coming.
It's like you can't keep them out.
Now, listen, this is not the only way that Israel is being populated. You mentioned something to me before we started the program. Are you going to share that with us now?
Oh, okay. So we're going to share this. Well, we have to warn our listeners. We did debate on whether or not to put this segment in.
No, we didn't debate. I said, we've got to do this. What are you talking about? You wanted to debate, and you said, I'm not so sure that this is...
And you said all of our listeners are adults, and they love to listen to this light, humorous side of things going on in Israel. So there happens to... You've heard of the Terminator, right? Okay. So evidently, there's a gentleman... who is on his way to Israel. He's the father of 26 with 7 on the way. He is a former Orthodox man. He continues to give away for free something very specific. And here's the deal. I mentioned you've heard of the Terminator. This guy has a nickname. It's a little bit crude, but he's called the Sperminator.
Right.
And he, in many ways, at least, I mentioned he's formerly Orthodox, he's at least keeping one biblical commandment, and that is to be fruitful and multiply. Right.
Now, his name is Ari Nagel. This is in the Times of Israel by Rene Gerdsand. Ari Nagel spreads more seed on recent Israel visit. Recent Israel. So this guy, is this guy like traveling the world to populate? I mean, what's is he starting his own army?
Well,
what's going on?
He might be. He does this in a variety of ways. Some are very conventional, meaning he goes to a clinic and provides his seed to women who can't conceive. And then there are other less, let's call them even less orthodox methodologies that he uses.
Right.
But 26 kids, and he has seven more on the way. Wait a minute. Let me put this straight. 26 children under the age of 14.
Wow.
But he was just invited to Israel by an Israeli woman who flew him over to provide her with five specimens. And he had them frozen at Ramat Hasharon cryobank. And he even posted a Facebook post with him outside the lab. So he's 41 years old. And you mentioned earlier, nice looking guy.
He's not a creepy looking guy by any standards. He's like a decent looking bloke. I can imagine, you know, women saying, you know what, he seems like he comes from pretty good genes, and yep. Wouldn't mind that DNA.
Right. And now here's the downside. You know, there's always a downside, as if we hadn't mentioned any yet. About half of his approximately $100,000 annual salary. Now, he's also a professor. I don't think he makes $100,000 doing this little gig.
Are you serious? Hang on.
Yeah.
He's a professor in what?
A New York math and computer science professor.
So this is not just that? a good looking bloke, but he's incredibly intelligent and educated.
He's educated. I don't know how intelligent half of his salary goes toward child support payments for nine of his offspring. Now, evidently, he makes arrangements. Some of these are pretty loose agreements. When he donates his specimens, he asks them, like kindly, I'm sure, not to sue him for child support, but doesn't demand that they put anything in writing. So a couple of the mothers have asked him, you know, to sign something, but he doesn't bother to keep a copy. So I think he's educated, but, you know, I don't know. Those are things that you might not want to lose track of.
That can kind of come back and bite you if you don't have something formal in place. But what is his motivation to do this, Ross?
Well, I don't know that we know all of his motivations. I think some of these encounters might be a little bit more fun for him than others, but I don't know. He just says he does make a point of attending baby showers, births, birthday parties, graduations, and Father's Day celebrations for many of his children.
So he wants to keep in touch. You're telling me he wants to keep in touch. He wants the address, the phone number, all that sort of stuff. Let me come around for important occasions and touch base. That's the deal, right?
Yeah, it seems like he tries to stay active with the children as he can. But as you can imagine, I mean, I have six children, and it's busy enough kind of, you know, keeping up with all their lives. I couldn't imagine having 26 under 14 with seven more.
You don't just have six children. You've got all these grandchildren. You've got a whole army yourself.
I do. I mean, it's building. The family is growing. We have five grandchildren and at least one on the way that I know about. So, but again, it's a little bit different family arrangement at my house. Same woman for a long time, but this guy, you know, hats off to him in some ways, but, you know, there is some opposition to his methodology, and we should point out that from a halakhic standpoint, he's performing a forbidden act. Just to put it bluntly, it's permissible only for a married man to donate sperm to his wife in the course of fertility treatments. A Jewish man undergoing chemotherapy or the like may freeze his sperm for future use within a marriage. But what he's doing is not allowed halakhically.
Wow.
And that's according to one of the sources quoted here.
Maybe that's why he's designated as formally Orthodox.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's clearly outside of Orthodoxy now. Yeah,
okay.
He's outside.
All right, but he seems to be fulfilling the dream, whatever his dream is, he's definitely out to populate the world. And it's not just in Israel, right? He's around the globe.
Oh, he's all over. Yeah, he's international.
All right.
I think he's got children all over.
The Sperminator coming to a town near you. We have to go to a break.
Look out for that. That's right.
That's a superhero of a different kind, isn't it? We're going to a break. We'll be right back after these messages. Don't go away.
Hi, I'm Rabbi David Aaron. The soul basics are the most profound, the most essential, and yet often the most neglected in our education. Join me for Soul Talk on Israel's News Talk Radio and discover the secrets to love, spiritual growth, and personal power.
Back to your listeners. You're listening to Israel on My Mind, a show that broadcasts all the weekly goodness that flows like milk and honey from the Holy Land straight into your ears with humorous and happy news stories here on Israel News Talk Radio. As we mentioned last week, Guns N' Roses are going to be performing in Tel Aviv this Saturday. They've just announced...
Welcome to the jungle, baby. Welcome to the jungle.
We've got fun and games. They're going to do a 3.5-hour show. How about that? They're going to kick off at 8, which has kind of upset the religious authorities because the sun doesn't go down till about 8. So Shabbat is still in effect. And the support act, I think, kicks off at, about 6:30 or something like that. So
wait a minute. Would the Orthodox otherwise attend the Guns N' Roses concert, or do you know?
I like to think so. I mean, okay, Slash's hat is kind of Orthodox when you think about it. I like to think that they would, but maybe they'll rock up after the sun goes down. They'll only miss, look, these guys never hit the stage on time. We all know that. And I'd be surprised if Guns N' Roses get kick off, until about 8:30, but they're hoping to do a 3.5-hour set, which is huge. They're going to have 61,000 people at this concert. It's absolutely packed. It's the biggest stage, right? I think it sets a record in Israel. If I remember correctly, it's something like 61 meters across. It's like 18 meters deep. It's huge anyway. So it's going to be a big event. And I would be surprised really if they do hit the stage until the sun goes down.
That reminds me, there's a t-shirt for sale in one of the shops in the old city that says Guns and Moses. And it shows, you see that? Yeah, I like that.
But let's pick one of those up when we're there. And speaking of rock stars, of course, Radiohead performed. Where did they perform? They performed in Scotland. And
they did.
And there was a whole crowd, wasn't there, Ross? A whole crowd of pro-Palestinian protesters at this concert, waving their flags and protesting.
Oh, yeah.
Just whining and protesting the fact that, of course, Radiohead will be performing very shortly. The frontman, Tom York, he kind of raised the middle finger to this crowd.
And, he's fed up with this group. He is fed up.
He really, really was. And he just shook his head and just stood there on stage repeating the words, "some effing people." I think he said that about 4 times, in absolute disgust of this pro-Palestinian protest that was in the crowd of the concert. So, but good on him. I've always been a Radiohead fan, even more so now.
Yeah, he certainly doesn't like this group. And he just basically feels like he's an adult. Let him make his own call. He's well informed. And so he's waving his finger at him, I think, now.
So he should. Now, something else that just won't go away. We've reported on this. Jason and I have touched on this, 2-3 times before, but it doesn't seem to be going away anytime soon. And it's back in the headlines again this week. Will meat made in the lab be kosher? By Noam Leviathan in the Jerusalem Post. First of all, Ross, you're a vegetarian, right?
Yeah.
Would you consider eating meat that was produced in a laboratory?
Presently, my mind is that no, I wouldn't, because I wouldn't eat vegetables made in a laboratory either. It just, to me, it seems unnatural. I'm not suggesting it's unethical. I'm not going there. But it's just strange. I don't know enough about it to make a call, but it just doesn't sound good to me, no.
Well, this particular article in the J Post is one of the more detailed articles I have read, And it doesn't hold back with some of the creepy detail. And having read some of that creepy detail, like, for example, growing it in a nutrient-rich liquid.
Yeah, that sounds bad. That yeah. sounds really, really bad right there.
And it does go into detail as to where, you know, where that comes from and what they put in and all that sort of stuff. However, Ross, this article does say some rabbis claim that it is not considered meat at all, and therefore even cultured pork would be okay for Jews to eat. Can you believe it?
Man, they even have, they're trying to make this thing have like a bloody substance to give you the, I guess so you can just enjoy all the realness of fake meat. Is that what they're doing?
Well, it's interesting you should say that because meat that is produced in the laboratory is, in fact, gray. And the reason why it's gray is because there is no...
Because it's soaked in some nutrient-enriched solution.
And there's no blood flow through this culture. And so, you know, some of the first... revealing and taste testing of these products was soaked in like a beetroot juice or something else just to give it a bit of a red color.
This sounds horrible.
No, I know. So it says in this article, for observant Jews, there may be another problem that would require the attention of a supervising body. Is cultured meat kosher? The question is, at the moment, the opinions are divided, right? Some rabbis claim that it is not considered meat at all, and therefore even cultured pork would be kosher. But there is also rabbis who think that it is meat in all respects, and so it would require some sort of rabbinical supervision. It is interesting to consider how kosher slaughter would be defined under these conditions. Even if I were convinced that this was okay, there's no way that I would eat cultured swine meat. And if I recall correctly, and maybe you can just back me up on this, there are four animals that we are not even to touch the carcass of, the camel, the shafan, there's something else, but the pig was definitely among that list. Oh, the hare. Yeah. The hare was the other one. But the pig was definitely off that. So I can't see that becoming kosher anytime soon.
No, and it's it reminds me, I do eat soy product that is flavored. It's supposed to be sort of a fake meat substance, and we have these different products. Like you can get, it's vegetarian soy bacon, and I think it's pretty good. I like eating what we call it is faking bacon.
Bacon.
And I even sometimes wrestle with that. You know, well, it's not really pig, but it's kind of fake bacon. So what do you think about that? That's a whole halakhic discussion.
Oh,
there,
yeah.
I guess.
I don't know. See, now you're a vegetarian. Now, Jason is also a vegetarian. He said, you know, he doesn't think that he would be going this anytime soon. But this is the kind of stuff that they are, you know, really moving forward on in Israel. And there seems to be a market for it. There are people saying, "Yeah, I'm up for that. I'll have some of that." You know, it ethically for some people, you know, there's no slaughtering of animals, therefore this is friendlier. In any case, I don't know. It gets me thinking. You're a vegetarian. Jason's vegetarian. James Tabor is vegetarian. My friend Rabbi Michael Skobach is also vegetarian. Hang on, is James vegan or vegetarian?
He's vegetarian leaning to vegan. He and his wife both and all his kids, they're all in that camp.
Well, you would be happy to know that my wife came home from the library yesterday with a book on vegetarian, no, vegan curries. Which, cookbooks. I'm going to get into that. It looks very appetizing.
Oh, yeah, it's really good. And that's one of the things that I love about Israel is that it's one of the world's top vegan-friendly countries and vegetarian-friendly countries. Per capita, I believe that Israel is one of the tops in that whole world of vegetarianism. In fact, did you happen to see that in Tel Aviv, they just opened a vegan supermarket?
So
Tel Aviv, of course, Israel is one of the top countries, but Tel Aviv is the friendliest city in Israel for vegans and vegetarians. And there's this new store, it's a supermarket in Tel Aviv called Green Wave, and they offer some 4,000 vegan products. It's all you can find. You walk in there, you're not going to find anything that's not vegan. So I'd like to check that out just to see the options. But, you know, I mean, Israeli cuisine is very, very healthy anyway for those who are, whether you're vegetarian or not. But you remember in every hotel, every restaurant, there are all these lovely, wonderful vegetarian options, which makes it so nice when you're traveling.
Sure. Okay, good one. Okay, yeah, this, I'm looking at that now. Israel's first vegan supermarket opens in Tel Aviv. This is opening in Carmel Market. Greenwave Market envisions safe space for vegan community. Here's a market that does not contribute in any way to the consumption of animal products. So
yeah, and the main thing is, I think it's not like people need a safe space, but you know, people who are concerned about diet, whether it's gluten or anything that requires a special attention to diet, you're always reading labels. Does this have this? Does it have that? And a vegan is very, very conscious about consuming animal products. So they know when they walk into this Greenwave supermarket in Tel Aviv, it's a, you know, it's clean. Yeah, it's a good deal.
Well, that's in Haaretz. Ronnie Cashman reports on that. And we put all of these articles on our Facebook page. So go to Israel on My Mind Facebook page. You'll find all of this and more there. What else you got there, Ross?
I tell you what, did you hear, shifting gears a little bit, but did you hear that an unusual person joined the camp proclaiming or calling for the recognition of Israel?
No,
the
do tell.
Widow, yeah. The widow of former PA chairman Arafat just said, hey, you know, it's pretty clear that Israel is Israel. Israel's here to stay. We ought to recognize it. Now, I don't know what caveats she threw.
He'd be turning in his radioactive grave, wouldn't he, right now? Is that right?
I would think so. But, you know, what she's actually doing in a way as the leader of the Palestinian Authority, you know, there's some internecine strife going on. And they, the PA, is at enmity with this Hamas. So it just so happens that by suggesting something which is so counter to Hamas, she more than promoting Israel, which I doubt she's doing, she's more really trying to slap Hamas.
But now, speaking of Hamas, though, did I see that you shared a photo on our Facebook page? Can you just quickly tell us about that before we go to the break?
Hilarious. Hamas officials were photographed right after they publicly endorsed BDS. And on the table, all over the table, these people were drinking Israeli products, some juice from Israel. And there it was in the picture as they declared BDS the way to go. Isn't that funny?
That was hilarious.
You gotta be more careful.
I saw it briefly, and there was something like 10 or 20 little red arrows pointing to Israeli products.
Yeah. Yep, that's right.
Well done, Hamas. Well done. More of that. Love it. We're going to go to a break. We'll be right back after these messages. Don't go away.
Hi, this is Heather Dean. Is your home sweet home just a place to hang your hat? Check out The Modern Jewish Home every Wednesday at 5 p.m. for practical advice from a wide variety of experts and innovators about relationships, getting organized, growing your business, nourishing your body and soul, and even having a good laugh. So make yourself at home every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Israel time on The Modern Jewish Home here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to your listeners. You are listening to Israel on My Mind, a show that broadcasts all the weekly goodness that flows like milk and honey from the Holy Land straight into your ears with humorous and happy news stories here on Israel News Talk Radio on the J-Post once again this week, entitled The Offbeat. Same idiocy, different century, Ross.
I love it.
This is today's most bizarre Zionist conspiracy theories. Kicks off with, let's see, number one. Oh, I remember, we did report on this once. Number one, Pokemon No. In 2016, July 2016, at the height of the worldwide Pokemon Go craze. I think that's come and gone now, surely. But Saudi Arabia's most powerful clerics decided that Pokemon was once again an abomination and reissued a 15-year-old fatwa against the Japanese franchise. Was it Japan's fault? No, of course not. Pokemon, according to the General Secretariat of Council of Senior Religious Scholars, says it promoted evolution, symbols of Freemasonry, polytheism and global Zionism. So,
yeah, I love it. It says, as always, someone has to blame the Pikachu. It's always Judaism and the Jewish people's fault, but only the Zionist Jews. It's always about the Zionist.
What's number two?
Feminism as a Zionist plot. This past March, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei wrote that the West degradation of women, the West is degradation of women, is most likely among Zionist plots aiming to destroy the society. Wow. I mean, that is the pot calling the kettle black if I've ever heard it. And you know, they won't even let you show a movie with a strong woman, i.e. Wonder Woman. Yeah.
Yes, it's stirring the pot, Gal Gadot. And that blame that on right-wing Zionists, feminism. There it is.
Wow.
Number three.
What's the next one?
Now, this, unfortunately, I've even seen this in my town here in Victoria. My youngest, you know, Bill, right?
Oh yeah,
He's up at the skate park as he often does. Really keen skater, very very good, and he's got on his IDF T-shirt. And one of the kids, in fact, a few of them, started calling him out and saying, "Oh, IDF, ISIS is Israel." Now,
wow,
I know the incredible ignorance that spreads even to school kids in Victoria, and it blew up into a really big thing. Now.
They better be careful. These boys are like trained in martial arts, so Israeli martial arts.
Let's just say they are. They're trained in Krav Maga. They're trained in jiu-jitsu. And I'll make a long story short and just say, well, it didn't work out very well for these boys. Anyway, it was really unfortunate that such a ridiculous rumor had spread even here. But so many people believe this, believing that ISIS stands for Israeli Secret Intelligence Service, right?
Good Lord. Oy. Wow.
Number four, what have we got?
Stuff. Hey, Zio-lympics. Can you imagine in 2012 in the Summer Olympics, this team came together. They're trying to come up with this beautiful logo. You know, each Olympics has to have their logo. And so in London was announced as the host of the 2012 Summer Olympics. This design team, all pumped up. They're trying to create a perfect logo. But guess what? The 2012, written in a stylistic way, looked like the word Zion. If you squint, like you back up a little bit, you look at it, 2012 looks enough like Zion. They were almost boycotted by several countries, and the only at the very end they decided not to boycott the games, but it was close.
It was
close. That logo,
Iran threatened not to turn up, right?
That's right. Yeah, Tehran sent a letter to the international committee, and they were gonna just back out, but they decided to let it go.
I love the next one. It's entitled "A Noah's Ark of Zionism." Now, this one, we're all familiar with this. This is the theory that I think Egypt came up with this theory that there were some shark attacks right off the coast of Egypt, and there was a theory that Mossad had captured sharks, trained them to eat Arabs, and then release them back into the water. This was seriously going around.
Well, they had a bird too, didn't they? Think that a vulture was some kind of spy bird?
Yes.
You can't make this stuff up. This is real.
No, a vulture was spying. Okay, a vulture with a Tel Aviv University tag was found in Saudi Arabia. Therefore, the bird was was trained to spy. I don't know how it was going to report back whatever it found, but that was something. Then there was, now what's this one? Palestinians in the West Bank have accused Israel many times of releasing animals to wreak havoc in their fields. Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas was quoted in 2014 speech saying, "Every night the Israelis release wild pigs against us. Why are they doing this to us?"
Every night.
Every night.
You just see all the Jewish residents going, "Hey, it's time to let the pigs out."
Yeah, the sun's gone down. Time to let the pigs out. Wild pigs.
Oh, my gosh.
WAFA, the Palestinian Authority news agency, published a story in 2008 which claimed that Israel trained and released supernatural rats in the old city of Jerusalem to terrorize Arab residents. Not just rats, but and not just trained rats, but supernatural rats. And I would love to know what their supernatural powers were.
I don't know, but you know, superheroes and Jews, that you can't trust anyone or anything when it comes to these Israelis.
Number six, the final.
Get this. Mossad stole my shoe.
Don't you hate it when that happens?
Not both, Jono. There's nothing worse than having one shoe stolen. Like, if you're going to steal a shoe, take both of them. I mean, what's good is one shoe. Asghar Bukhari, a founding member of London-based lobbying group Muslim Public Affairs Committee, UK, he posted this diatribe on Facebook, quote, "Are Zionists trying to intimidate me? Someone came into my home yesterday while I was asleep." Probably after they released the wild pigs. "I don't know how they got in, but they didn't break in. The only thing they took was one shoe." Man, these guys are sneaky. These Israelis are good. Can you believe that?
Oh, my goodness. So that's the latest in the Zionist conspiracies. What else have we got?
You would almost say that this stuff is a little more sensible and not that crazy, but it's still crazy because these groups continue to promote this anti-Israel vitriol. And for instance, in the States, the Mennonite Church USA, see this?
Now, I heard about that. So they voted to support BDS, a vote of something like 98%?
That's right. Now, we have to be careful because I posted this on my personal page on Facebook, and evidently I have some friends, quite a few of them evidently, who are now or were Mennonites, but they're not this group of Mennonites. This group... the ones that dress, you know, with the traditional, like the bonnet and so forth. Yeah. These people, I'm told, would never, ever go against Israel. But this group is more of a liberal group. So we want to clarify that for our listeners. So if you see a Mennonite with a bonnet, they didn't do this. They're not part of the 98%.
Right. Okay. But hang on. But are there two different denominations of Mennonites? Okay. So as I remember, it was Menno Simons who started the Anabaptists, the Mennonites, right? Anabaptists, which basically said, we're Christians and we can't find anything in the New Testament about baptizing babies, so we're not going to do that anymore, and therefore broke away from the Catholic Church. This was part of the Reformation process. Menno Simons was a big fan of Martin Luther. Both of them were anti-Semites. What else do we have?
I tell you, what about this? What about the UNESCO vote? Did you hear about this? This time they're in Krakow.
Tell me about that. Why do we care? I mean, look, it's the kind of rubbish that comes out of the UN. Someone explain to me why we even care that people go to the UN and talk. I don't understand why we need to be a player in the game. Surely you have insight into this, Ross. Fill me in.
It is just beyond my mind how so many. It's obvious that the voting bloc. Especially in some of these splinter groups and these designated groups, is so anti-Israel that they just can't help themselves. Now, we've got some good things going on, with like Nikki Haley. But this latest declared that Hebron's old city in the Cave of the Patriarchs, this is the Cave of the Patriarchs, the second holiest site in Judaism, is Palestinian. And they put it also on the endangered list. Now, what does that do? That gives them even more control. So guess what? This is the way you get back at them. The Israeli government, Netanyahu and the Israeli cabinet and so forth, they voted to take $1 million that had been earmarked for the United Nations. And I love this. And they're going to use it to build a museum in Hebron, which strengthens Jewish ties to biblical Hebron and Kiryat Arba. And I just think that's lovely. The only way to get them is just to say like you did, hey, we're not going to give you any money, especially when you're acting like this. Now, this isn't the first time. In December, they cut $6 million from Israel, cut $6 million from the UN to protest the UN Security Council resolution against settlement activity. Earlier, they had taken $1 million to protest a UNESCO resolution against Israeli sovereignty in Jerusalem, and this is following $2 million cut for other UN anti-Israel activity. So I think the only thing to do is just quit giving them money. They're going to talk smack anyway.
Yeah.
Don't support them.
Well, I agree with you, but they're still sending some money. They're still contributing some money to the UN. So just, explain it to me, because I really don't get it. Why do we need to be players in this game? I mean, I understand why it was once important when the UN was a legitimate entity, but now it's just become a joke. It's just ridiculous. But why do we need to be a player in the game at all?
It's almost a challenge now. Can we persuade the sensible, and are there enough sensible among us in the world community to support the only thriving democracy in the Middle East? And I think that's the challenge before us in our day. And I think that a lot of well-intentioned people have said it's worth the fight. It's better to keep our eye on the enemy than to let them meet in secret. I mean, hell, they're doing this in the open. So
yeah, okay.
I'm going to go back. I'm going back next year, so I got to keep going.
Okay.
Thanks for letting me jump in today and greet our listeners. That really made my week.
Oh, good. Well, do you want to say goodbye?
I guess I could. Thank you so much for listening, ladies and gentlemen. It's been a pleasure to be with you again, bringing you all this weekly goodness from the land of Israel.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
If you're hearing this message, everyone else can too. Advertise with Israel News Talk Radio and get your message out to people. We'll build a personalized package for you. Contact advertising at israelnewstalkradio.com.
Straight talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.